Welcome to everyone who is joining us that's new. We're so excited that you're here, and we look forward to learning together our Daf HaShavua. And thank you to all of those who worked hard to put together this beautiful opening breakfast, which we have every week. Mm-hmm. And thank you to Erez. Okay, the weekly learning of Maseches Megillah now is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their dear son Yomi, Yosef Menachem, Zichrono Livracha Ben Gershon, who grew up in our shul. The shir is Le'ili Nishmaso, and we thank Bagel Munch for supplying the breakfast, and that is Le'ili Nishmas Feiga Bas Chaim and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. Okay. So welcome to Maseches Megillah. Maseches Megillah is a wonderful Masechta. It is, of course, about Chanukah. No, it's not about Chanukah. It is about Purim. It is about Megillah. It is also somewhat about the Beis HaKnesses and different aspects of Shul and Davening and Kriyas HaTorah and some of those components of Halacha as well. And I always wondered how those things ended up in Maseches Megillah. Maseches Megillah, Purim, if anything, is a holiday that probably has quite limited formality when it comes to shul, right? You have Yitz sitting here, who's a master balkore with all of our voices and costumes and hat changes, and one wouldn't immediately associate the sanctity and decorum of a Beis HaKnesses and the formality of the various elements of how we engage the different Kedushas Hayom of the Yom Tovim with the holiday of Purim, right? With Maseches Megillah. So how did it end up here? There are plenty of other places for that to end up. Maseches Yuma, other Masechtos, Rosh Hashanah maybe, Brachos, right? So how do we, thank you, Morty. So how did it end up here? So I always thought that the reason is as follows, and that is that, of course, as we study Maseches Megillah, we're going to refer back to the story of Purim. We all know the basic story of Purim. But the story of Purim has a turning point, where things move from being a tremendous danger to the future of the Jewish people, where Am Yisrael is vulnerable to really total annihilation, to v'nafochu, to a point of absolute victory and vanquishing their enemies, and being able to push back in an extraordinary way, as we're going to learn about today a little bit. So what is the turning point of the Megillah? What is the moment where things shift from the Jewish people being on the side of victimhood to being on the side of conquerors? What is that moment? So we're very used to that, identifying that moment as being when the heroine of the Purim story, Esther, summons the courage to be able to go and confront Ahasuerus, and that's Mordechai tells her, who knows if this entire position in your entire life prepared you for this moment. You should exude that sense of bravery. You should walk in at great risk, at great peril, at great sacrifice, the Gemara is going to tell us, to yourself and to your future, and you should do what needs to be done to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people. So there clearly is a human initiative that is involved in ultimately changing the course of Jewish history in the story of Purim. Is that the turning point of the Megillah? Perhaps that's the turning point of the Megillah, but perhaps that's not the only turning point of the Megillah. Perhaps the turning point of the Megillah also includes the moment where Esther says to Mordechai, Lech knos es kol ha-Yehudim. Go gather everybody together. The Maharal says the word knos refers to a Beis HaKnesses. The word kenos, to gather people together, relates to the concept of shul, to the concept of kehillah. That the turning point of the Megillah is this combination of bravery and courage and human initiative, and also recognition that ultimately everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the recognition of tefillah. And therefore the role of the Beis HaKnesses is actually very central to the Purim story. And to always remember that it is the combination of tefillah and hishtadlus that ultimately result in Klal Yisrael being able to move their history forward. So we know there is a story of Purim, and a great miracle occurs. A great miracle occurs, and the Jewish people are saved. In the aftermath of that story, already around Perek Tes, right, We start to hear of the Jewish people fighting back, destroying their enemies, and Mordechai and Esther establishing a holiday, establishing a chag. Purim is a rabbinically established chag, and it is actually a paradigm for potentially other rabbinically established chagim. There are other Purims throughout Jewish history. Famous Purim Frankfurt, other Purims. Yom HaTzmaut was patterned largely after Purim, after a statement in Halacha in the Magen Avram that licenses the Rabbanim of every generation, if they feel a miracle of salvation has occurred, to allow the generation to innovate a chag that's related to that miracle. And there, we've discussed this before, the controversy surrounding Yom HaTzmaut is less about whether or not there is a license to establish a holiday and more about when that holiday should take place. Some believe Hei Iyar is the perfect day. Some believe Hei Iyar is the worst possible day. That's the day that the war started. Like, why would you start it then? Anyway, that's a discussion for another time. But here we go. So we have a mitzvah to read the Megillah. And the Megillah tells us, the Megillah's Esther tells us, that Purim is celebrated on what day of Adar? This year there are going to be two Adars, so we'll have a lot to talk about. Right? But what day of Adar is the day of Purim?
Yud-Dalid,
the 14th day of Adar. So here we go. So the Mishnah begins by telling us the following. Megillah nikreis biyud aleph, biyud beis, biyud gimel, biyud dalet b'tesvav. The Megillah has the capacity to be read. It is possible to have the celebration of Purim occur on any of these potential dates. The 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Lo pachos v'lo yosir. It cannot be celebrated before the 11th, and it will never be scheduled after the 15th. So we obviously want to understand, what does that mean? Purim in our world is always on the 14th, right? So what does that mean? That Purim is all of a sudden being celebrated on the 11th or the 12th. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says the following, that cities that are surrounded by a wall from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun, Korin b'tesvav, those cities read not on the 14th, but on the 15th. What we colloquially refer to as Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim, as we'll see, did not necessarily have a wall from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. And we'll understand by the end of today why it is that Yehoshua bin Nun is the era of Jewish history that is used as the determining factor of whether or not a city qualifies as a walled city to celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar, even in contemporary times. So, Kfarim, Bayoros, Kedolos, Korin, Biyudalid. Villages and large cities, what we usually do, read on Yudalid, read on the 14th. However, Elishak Farim Akdimin Liyom Aknisa, but there was a Takonas Chachamim that the small villages, right, the very small cities, right, what people in New York call out of town, places like Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, right, out of town, right, Passaic, out of town, right, so the out of town communities, which barely have a balcore, barely have a minion, barely have things that they need, so they can push it back, makdimin, they are makdimin, to the Yom HaKnisa. What's the Yom HaKnisa? The Yom HaKnisa is the market day. The villagers used to go into the big cities on Mondays and Thursdays. Takanas Ezra was, those were the days that they would mesakein to read the Torahs. They would be learning that day. And those are also the days that they were mesakein to have Batei Din sit on Mondays and Thursdays, right? Today, Batei Din sit every day, right, Rabbi Weissman? So so they would be mesaking to move it back to the Yom HaKnisa. So out of deference to these small villages, which didn't necessarily have a balkore for Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah, so therefore they were allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of reading the Megillah earlier than the 14th. They were allowed to do it as early as the preceding market day, Thursday or Monday. So the Mishnah delineates exactly how this would work. And the next section of the Mishnah is really just a is really just an accounting of how each day of the week that would correspond to the 14th day of Adar, who would read when. It could all be intuited based on the principles we said before, but the Mishnah clarifies all of them. Ketzad, how does this work? So Chalios Yudali B'Sheni. So if the 14th falls out on a Monday, so then, we don't have to push it back at all, because that is a day of Yom HaKnisa. So, Kfarim Bayaros Gedolos, so then villages in big cities, Karim Bayom, they read on that day. Mukafos Chama, and cities that are surrounded by a wall that celebrate on the 15th, Lemachar, they will read on Tuesday. Chalios b'shlishi oberevi, let's say the 14th of Adar falls out on Tuesday or on Wednesday. So then, Kfarem umakdimin liyom aknisa. So the villages will push it back to the preceding Monday. Va'ayoros kedolos karem bobayom. The big cities read on the 14th, whether it's Wednesday or whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Umakapas chama lemachar. And the walled cities will read on the following day of whatever the day of the 14th is, so on the 15th. Chalios b'chamishi, if it falls out on Thursday. So now we know, Kfarim b'ayoros kedolos karem bobayom. The villages and the large cities read on that day, since that is a day of Yom HaKnisa. That is a market day. Mikopas Choma Lemachar. The walled cities read the next day, which is Erev Shabbos. Chalios Erev Shabbos. Let's say that the 14th falls out on Erev Shabbos. So Kfarim Makdimin Yom HaKnisa. The villages push it back to the Yom HaKnisa, to the market day. That's Thursday. Vayoros Gedolos Umikopas Choma Karem Bovayom. And the large cities and the walled cities read on that day. Why do they read on that day? Because the following day is Shabbos. So, and we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why don't we read the Megillah on Shabbos? A takana that we won't come to carry the Megillah. Is the Megillah muksa on Shabbos? The Megillah muksa. This Shiloh came up in the Glasser home when my family bought me a Megillah as a gift. And in the Glasser home, my wife and I's minig is that we give each other all of our gifts under the challah cover at the Shabbos table. That's when all jewelry is given, all gifts are given. It's actually how we got engaged. So my wife wanted to put the Megillah under the challah cover, but she didn't know if a Megillah is muksa. So she called Rabbi Sobolovsky. She told Rabbi Sobolovsky about this plan. And Rabbi Sobolovsky told her the Megillah is not muksa, as long as you learn from it. You know, it's a Sefer Tanakh. So there went the Megillah, right there on Shabbos, under the challah cover, and it was very romantic. Chalios b'Shabbos. Let's say Purim falls out on Shabbos. Kfarim v'ayoros gedolos makdimin. So the villages and the large cities, what do? They push it back all the way to v'karin liyom haknisa, to Thursday. U'mekofas chom lemachar. But the walled cities, since Yudalit fell out on Shabbos, the walled cities could read it on Sunday, right? So today, that we don't push it back to the Yom HaKnisa, we read on Friday, this is what we call Purim Meshulash, right? Anybody who's had the zechus to be in Eretz Yisrael for Purim Meshulash knows that it's a day of tremendous spirituality. So, Chalios Achar HaShabbos, let's say it falls out after Shabbos on Sunday, Kfar Makdim Yom HaKnisa, the villages will read it all the way back to Thursday, Sunday to Thursday. So Sunday was the 14th, Shabbos is the 13th, Friday is the 12th. That's the day that gets you to the 11th. Vayaros kedos karem bo vayom, and the big cities read on that day. Mekavos chama lemachar, and the walled cities read on the following day. Okay.
Were there any karem that were walled cities also?
Potentially, I would assume that they would fall under the same takana, but it's a good question. So, I don't think so, because a walled city, a city that's walled is usually walled because it's very, very substantial. Right. Like, I wouldn't think that they would put in the effort to build a wall around a little village, you know, that just has a few homes. Yeah.
Well, it might for protection, but so the villagers went to the big cities, was saying.
Yeah.
Because they did the shopping. So in essence, they could hear Megillah on Tuesday and then come back and get in here on Thursday, which would be the regular day.
The villagers went to the big cities on Monday.
On Monday.
And they heard it there.
Right. Okay.
And that's it.
Let's say Purim itself, Megillah would normally fall out in the big cities, let's say on Tuesday.
Right.
So they could stay over that night and hear it.
They could. They could if they wanted to, but they probably would go home. I thought you were going to ask I think you meant to ask another question, which is once they're in these big cities, how do the, who exactly are they hearing Megillah from? Right? They came to the big city. They showed up in the big city to hear Megillah from Yitz Weiss. But for Yitz Weiss, it's not Purim today.
No, but he's practicing.
So the shaila is, can he be motzi them in Kriyas HaMegillah? So the Rishonim discussed this shaila. This is discussed, right? Whether or not, if you are not chayiv in something, but you are in the general category of his chayivus of something, can you be motzi another person And it's not the same as, let's say, Kiddush, where you're it's Shabbos and you've been Yotze Kiddush, now you want to be Motzi somebody, but there's still a din of Arevus because your Chiyuv is not completed till their Chiyuv is completed, because it's not a regular case like that, because you don't have, it's not Purim for you.
Right.
So that's, obviously that's a resolvable question, but that is discussed by the Rishon.
It's more like a case, I think, of Havdalah. Once you make Havdalah, can you make,
Havdalah for somebody else, right? Right.
Your Chiyuv is already completed, can you make it for somebody else?
Right. Yeah,
in this case.
But even in this case, it's again, it's even a little worse than Havdalah, because at least in Havdalah, like on Motzei Shabbos, that is a night that for you is Shayach to Havdalah, right? It's Shayach to you for Havdalah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Megillah Nikreis B'yud Aleph Minolam. So the Gemara says, hold on, I opened up Megillah Esther, it doesn't say anything about the 11th of Adar. Right? Where did you get this from? That people could read the Megillah all the way back to the 11th. It's nice that you're trying to create convenience, but where did you get this from? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Minolon? What do you mean? Now the Gemara is questioning the question. Minolon? What do you mean? Where do we get it from? Come on! Like we're going to say later on. Chachamim ikilu ala kfarim. The Chachamim were mekil, were lenient on the villages. Lios maktimin liyom haknisa. To push back the reading to the day of the market. Kadesh Yisbeku, Mai Mumazon Lachehem Shabikrachim, so that they would go into the big cities on the Mondays and Thursdays. If they didn't do this, so then the villages would have to go into the big cities on Purim itself. That would disrupt the commerce, that would disrupt the economy of the big cities, because the villagers, while they needed the big cities for the Megillah reading, the big cities needed them. They're the ones where all the products came from, they're the ones growing everything. So the Gemara says, no, Michti, Kulu Anshe Knesset Agdola Tikninu. We know that all these dates were we know that these things were decreed by Anshe Knesset Agdola. Diso Kadaitach, Anshe Knesset Agdola Yudal Betesvav Tikun, because if you would have thought that Anshe Knesset Agdola only were Mesakin the 14th and the 15th, Asu Rabbonin Ba'akri Takanta Tikinu Anshe Knesset Agdola, then is it possible that the later rabbis came along and uprooted the takana of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola and told you not to celebrate Purim on the 14th, but to celebrate it on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th? Such a thing is impossible. But Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Beis Din Yochel Levatel Divrei Beis Din Chaveiro Elim Ken Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. A Beis Din is not allowed to uproot the Beis Din Shel Chaveiro, another Beis Din's takana, unless they're greater. Right? Let's say that Rabbi Weishman and his Beis Din got together and they decided they don't like Yom Tov Sheni anymore. Right? That's not a very convenient takana.
Halavai.
Right? And they've already solved the Aguna problem. So they're done with everybody signed the prenup. And so now they want to move on to the next thing. They want to convene the Beis Din of America and they want to decide they're going to be Mevatel the Din of Yom Tov Sheni. So even though I think they're very, very large, b'chachma u'v'minyan, l'chora, that would be a challenge, right? Good b'chachma u'v'minyan. So you have to be greater than the basin before you to do something b'chachma u'v'minyan. And the Rishonim will discuss how this principle interacts with Dinei Derabbanan in general, which is something we're going to talk about in the Maseches Megillah. Elabshita, so the Gemara says, no. This is what we're trying to clarify. This is all parenthetical. This is all to clarify the Gemara's kasha. Kulu Anshe Knesset Agdola Tiknu. Certainly, all of these dates were within the overall takana of the Anshe Knesset Agdola. Hecha Remiza. We want to know where is it hinted to in the Megillah? They can't just park in the Avir. They can't just pull out of thin air. There had to be some allusion in the Megillah that this takana would allow us to expand. So Amar Rav Sham Bar Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So they say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Lekayem es yemei apurim ha'ele bizmanehem." We're going to quote some psukim now that are going to be a little less familiar, because by the time you get to the ninth parak of the Megillah, you think, first of all, they're no more Hamans, so it's not as exciting when you're a kid. And second of all, you're already thinking about breaking the fast. And third of all, the story's over, so you're just kind of like, really? They're another three prakim when the story's over? Always kind of comes as a surprise, right? So, but if these prakim are the instructions of what to do in Purim. So what does the pasuk say? So the pasuk says, And this, by the way, is an example. These psukim are examples of where it's always important to look up the psukim, because the part that the Gemara is darshaning is not really the part that it's quoted. The pasuk says, "Lekayim is yimei apurim ha'eleb is manehem," to fulfill the days of Purim, of these days of Purim, in their times. Kasher kayam aleihem Mordechai Yehudi ve'Esther Amalka. Right? In other words, the takana of Purim was to observe Purim in these times when the nes happened, just like Esther and Mordechai fulfilled it when the nes happens. But kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram dibrei atzamos v'zakosam. Like they accepted on themselves and on generations later, these fasts and these tefillos. So the Gemara says, it says, l'kayim esmeya purim ha'ela bizmanehem, in their times, zmanim harbe tiknu lahem. So you could tell that there were multiple times. It's in plural. So that tells you all the way Yud Aleph through the Tesva. So the Gemara says, no. Haimi boile legufe. What do you mean? You need that word zmanehem for the pshat of the pasuk. The whole point of the pasuk is to tell you that this is something that has to perpetuate itself. It wasn't a one-time chag. Bizmanehem. You can't just celebrate Purim whenever you want. You celebrate Purim in the right zman. So in Cain, the Gemara says, no, if that's what it wanted to say, le makra zman, it could have just said zman. Kayim is yimea Purim ha'ela bizman. In the right zman. My zmanehem. Zmanim tuva. That must tell you that you can have more times. Vakatimi boile. No, the Gemara says you still need a larger clarification than the word zman, because there's another halacha that we need. Zmano shozeh, lo kizmano shozeh. We know that this time of this is not like the time of that, meaning the fact that we have regular Purim and Shushan Purim are not optional. It's not like, well, if you want, you could do it on the 14th. If you want, you could do it on the 15th in either city. Everybody's got to do it when they're supposed to do it. That's what we learn from it, not just saying zman, but also saying zmanehem. So it's not available to be ambiguous and allow you to extrapolate all these extra days. So the Gemara says, no, Imkain, if that's the only thing you wanted to expand to, lemakra zmanom. Could have just said zmanom. My zmanehem, shmas minei kulu. So you learn out all of them. You learn out that it has to be every year. You learn out that everybody has to do it on the right day. And you learn out that there are multiple extra potential dates that Purim could be. So ema zmanim tuva. So then how did you just get these extra 3 days, right? Maybe it's the whole Adar. That's what the Rishonim say, the Gemara's Havamina is here. We know that the whole month is already considered, Meipur Mishnichnas Adar, Marbin Besimcha, already in the beginning of Adar. So the Gemara says, no, Zmanehem Dumu Dizmanom. The expansion from Zmanom to Zmanehem is parallel. Ma Zmanom Trei, Af Zmanehem Trei. Just like Zmanom is two, right? Meaning your Dalet and Tesvav, the original is two, so till two, the expansion is two. So the Gemara says, hold on, the expansion is two. Then who said which two? Ve'ema tresar v'tresar. So maybe it's the 12th and the 13th. So back it up, the next two. So the Gemara says, where'd you get the 11th? How do you know you can go all the way to the 11th? So the Gemara says, no, because k'da'amar av shumo bar yitzchok, yudgimo zman kilo l'cholhi. That the 13th doesn't need an extra limud. 13th doesn't need an extra limud because the 13th is a day that was shayach to everyone. Everyone fought battles on the 13th. Zman kilo lecholhi. Rashi says, akol nikalu lehim kamei aveya and ben b'shusha ben b'shar mekomos. Everybody fought back against the enemies on the day of the 13th. Shushan got an extra day, but everybody's on the 13th. So the 13th is shayach to everyone. We don't need an extra limud for the 13th. So v'lo tzarech l'rbuye, hachanami yud gimel zman kilo l'choli v'lo tzarech l'rbuye. So too here, we don't need an extra limud for the 13th. So if you don't need an extra limud for the 13th, and you have two, so that gets you the 12th and the 11th, and that's our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, hold on, maybe shisar v'shivsar. Maybe it's the 16th and the 17th, right? The Gemara says, no, v'lo ya'avor k'siv. The pasuk says in the Megillah that that we don't pass over the lo ya'avor, we don't go over the 15th. We don't go over the 15th. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim aleihem v'alzarem v'alkol hanivim aleihem v'lo ya'avor liyos osin v'shnei ha'yomim ha'ela k'chsavam u'chizmanam b'chol shanam v'shanam. So v'lo ya'avor means you don't go over.
Why doesn't the Gemara ask, how come it's not in Nisan?
Why doesn't the Gemara ask, how come it's not in Nisan? Why should it be in Nisan?
Because that's when it actually started beginning. The fact that the decree was stopped
But the Purim celebrates the victory, right? That happened in Adar. So why would it be in Nisan? Why would the celebration be in Nisan?
Because Esther was able to stop Ahasuerus from the fact that, you know, the Jews could actually have a fighting chance.
Okay, but the Chag isn't celebrated on the day that we potentially could have been saved, right? The Chag is celebrated when the miracle's done. Tzias Mitzrayim, right? We don't celebrate Pesach when Moshe first comes to Klal Yisrael and says, I'm going to take you out. Celebrate Pesach, Etzem HaYom HaZeh, right? When we go out. Same thing with Purim. We celebrate the day we go out.
This was the Yom HaZeh.
This was it. This was the day. What David may be alluding to is the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma brings up a very beautiful point. The Meshech Chachma, when it's talking about why is there no holiday to celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? Rashi says Kriyas Yamsuf happened on the seventh day of Pesach. Some say the seventh day of Pesach, and that's when we read the Shira, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not really a Chag b'fnei Atzmo. There's no Hallel Shalim on the seventh day of Pesach. There are no mitzvos on the seventh day of Pesach. And other than that being the Kriyas HaTorah, there is virtually no, you know, there's no special, you know, Me'ena Ma'ura of Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Right, it's not, exactly. It's not like Shemini Atzeres. Exactly. So the Meshech Chachma says the reason is because the main purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was to destroy the Egyptians, right? We know Tosis points out in Erchin, there's actually a picture in the Tosis. When we get to Erchin in 25 years, when we get to Erchin, you'll see there's a picture in the Tosis where we think, we've kind of seen the movie, that they have to get through the Yam to get to the other side. The Gemara assumes that that's not what happened, that they got to the shore, the Egyptians behind them, the seas in front of them, and they actually passed in a semicircle and ended up right back where they started, right? The Yamsuf wasn't in front of them, in between them. If you look at the geography, it makes sense. So why did they do that? What was the point of that? The point of that was that the miracle was that the sea split so Klal Yisrael could get through so that then it could kill the Egyptians. And that was it. And that was how Kadosh Baruch Hu saved them. Says the Meshech Chachma, since the main point of Kriyas Yamsuf was to eliminate the, he says, we don't celebrate the destruction of our enemies. We celebrate the salvation of the Jewish people. That's why he says Purim is not celebrated on the day that they fought back. It's celebrated on the day Asher Nachu Bo HaYehudim, the day that we were able to be free of their oppression. He says that's true about Hanukkah as well. We celebrate after the war. We celebrate the menorah. We celebrate the symbolism of Hanukkah is more connected to the miracle of the menorah for this reason also, says the Meshech Chachma. That's what b'nfalai becha al tismach. We don't rejoice in the destruction of our enemies. It doesn't mean we're not focused on their destruction, but it's not a source of simcha.
Even still today, I'm saying with what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, we don't celebrate.
Correct.
The way our enemies celebrate.
Correct. Correct.
We wouldn't like correct.
What?
So Meshech Chachma wouldn't like Heir.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Heir isn't a celebration of the destruction of our... Heir doesn't have either one. That's fair. In other words, it's not a celebration of the destruction of our enemies, clearly, but it's also was not the day Asher Nachu Ba Yehudim. But there are other... Yom Yerushalayim. Yeah. There are other... There's a lot to say on Hey Yer. Okay, I'm sure it'll come up in the Seches Megill. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Kra. So Shmuel Bar Nachmeni has another approach to how we know of this expansion, not the approach of Rav Yochanan, and that is Omar Kra. The pasuk says Kayamim Asher Nachu Bohem Ayehudim, like the days that the Jewish people were Noach were rested. Yamim Kayamim, days like days. The Rabos Yud Aleph Yud Beis. So then the Gemara says. The Gemara says the same line of questioning as before. Yud Aleph Yud Beis Vayim Etrei Sevet Leisar. Maybe it's 12th and the 13th. Shomer Shemini. It's a Yud Gimel Zman Kilu L'Cholhi. The 13th is Man Kilu L'Chol. The Lo Tzarech L'Rabuye. So it doesn't need a special limud. So therefore, it's talking about the 11th and the 12th. The Ema Shisar V'Shivsar. Maybe it's the 16th and 17th. The Lo Yabar Ksiv says Lo Yabar. Shurim Bar Nachmeni Ma'atem Alom. Rav Gimizdani. Ahem, why doesn't Rosh Hashanah Nachmeni hold of the approach of Yochanan of Bizmanehem? He says, I don't know, this Zman, Zmanim, Zmanehem, lo mashmalei. Yeah, that's a little weak for me, right? So, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, my time below Omar, Mikayamim. So why doesn't Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, why doesn't he hold the Mikayamim? So Amar Lachai, he says, no, we need Mikayamim for another drasha. How Lidoros Udichsib? To tell us that it has to be Lidoros. Okay. Amar Rabba Bar Barchanan, Rav Yochanan, says Rabba Bar Barchanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan, Zu, this halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that the villages can pass it back to the Yom HaKnisa, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Sistamoya. And that is Rabbi Akiva Stam. Meaning sometimes the author of Mishnayos that don't explicate their author are Rabbi Akiva. And this is one of them. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Didarish Zman Zmanom Zmanehem. He holds this drasha. Aval Chachamim Omrim, but the Chachamim held, no. Ein Kornasa Ela Bizmano. They didn't hold to this. They held that everybody reads it in their own place. So we become so accustomed. First Mishnah Megillah, Megillah Nikres, Yudal, Pibes, Yigim, Yudal. That's only Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Pinyan, Rabbi Akiva. There's another sheet in the Tanoim that everybody reads Megillah exactly when they're supposed to. So Mesevei, we had a kasha on this. Am Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, Imasai. When did we do this system? Where the villagers were able to pass it back to the Yom HaKnisa, Bizman Shashanim Kitiknon, Bisrael Shurin Alad Masan. When the years were being established in the normal ways, like Alpi Bezdin, and the Chodesh was Mekadesh Alpi Bezdin, right? It used to be that how do we know the new month? Two Adim came to Bezdin and said we saw the new moon, and the Bezdin would decide whether that day's Rosh Chodesh, next day was Rosh Chodesh. Do we add a month for Adar? Do we not add a month for Adar? That all happened Al Pi Beis Din. So when that was going on, you could push it back. You could push it back. About Bizman Azeh, but today, in the times of the Gemara, Hol Mustaklin Ba, so the times of the Gemara, we don't have Shluchei Beis Din anymore. We don't have this system. We're functioning with an estimated calendar. We're functioning with a calendar. So that calendar, not everybody had the Ezra's Torah Luach, right? That calendar was complicated. So people would look at Purim, and what would they say to themselves? Mistaklimba. They would say to themselves, oh, if today's Purim, then I know that 1 month from today is, 1 month from tonight is?
Pesach.
So, En Karnasa Ela Bizmana. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda said, they removed this din because En Karnasa Ela Bizmana. Because we want to make sure that we don't mess up when Pesach is. And if the villages push it back, they're going to end up celebrating Pesach on the wrong day. It's too confusing. Rabbi Yehuda, so that's the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So now the Gemara says, if it's in fact true that our Mishnah is only the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and there is a Machlokas Tanoim about this, then how do we account for the statement of Rabbi Yehuda? After all, right? Ela Bizman. So Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba Deman, who's he following? Ali Ilem Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. If you tell me he's following Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva wasn't mechalik between the Zman of Kiddush HaChodesh and Bizman Azeh. I feel Bizman Azeh. It sounds like even Bizman Azeh. So Rabbi Yehuda can't be following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. La Isil Lahai Takanta. We have this takon. El Alav Aliba de Rabbanon. So maybe he's following the opinion of the Rabbanon. The opinion of the Rabbanon is that we never differentiated between Yomak, between the villages and the cities. So the Gemara says, "Ubizman shashanim ketiknun v'Yisrael shurin amad masan miyakariyudan miyakarinun." Right, but in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when they were in Eretz Yisrael and they were following the messengers of the Beis Din, it sounds like they were able to differentiate between the market day and not the market day. So tiyufta, Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta. So that becomes a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. So that statement that this is a machlokas tanoim, that tradition in the, just to follow, that tradition, Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora, that tradition, right, in the Amoraim, that this is really a machlokas tanoim, is suspect because a Tana made a statement that really does not seem to assume that there was any machlokas of this sort. So that must be a distorted tradition. It must be wrong, okay? So the Gemara says, Ikeda Amri, there's another version of how this whole challenge to this statement of Rabbi Yochanan went down, and that is, Amar Rabbi Brachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Dibber Rabbi Kiva Sistama. The Chachamim Amru, that the qualification was that this was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah, but the Chacham say, Bizman Azeh, Holu Mistaklimba, Ein Kornasa Ela Bizman. Right? That the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim was not whether or not they were ever able to do this, but was only Bizman Azeh. In other words, everybody agrees, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in the times of Kiddush HaChodesh, in the original times of the calendar, that we had this differentiation. But the din of the Mishnah that seems to be like it transcends all historical eras really is not true. In the times of Bizman Azeh, right? About Chacham Amar Bizman Azeh, in the times after Kiddush HaChodesh, the Chachamim disagreed. Rabbi Akiva continued to persist that this was the din, but the Chachamim disagreed. That's the other version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. That version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement might be more palpable. Because Tanya Nami Haki, now the Braisa, makes sense. The Tanoic statement of Rabbi Yehuda can be considered congruent with that assertion of Rabbi Yochanan that that machlokas takes place, Bizman Hazeh, because Rabbi Yehuda's statement, Emasai Bizman Shashanim Kitikunan, Yisrael Shurin Al Admasan. When do we say that this machlokas is true, that they go to Yom HaKnisa? I'm sorry, when do we say the din is true, they go to Yom HaKnisa? When Yisrael's Shurin Al Admasan, the original din of Kiddush HaChodesh. And that fits perfectly with the Shita of the Chachamim, and that might be a corrective to what the statement of Rabbi Yochanan actually was. Okay, so everyone followed? So in other words, we had a statement from the Amora about what the true interpretation of our Mishnah is, and then the Gemara challenged that interpretation by conjuring up an earlier statement of another Tana that did not assume that interpretation. Then the Gemara said, okay, that doesn't work. Maybe the original reinterpretation of our Mishnah was something else, and that does align with the statement we found in the Tanoim that works. Okay, that's the end of that. Ravashi, Kashile, Rabbi Yehuda. So Ravashi brought up a contradiction between the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Umukim lola braisa, Rabbi Yosi ber Rabbi Yehuda. And the way he dealt with it was by establishing that one of those statements followed the opinion of Rirosi by Yehuda. This is a new statement. What's the contradiction? Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bizman Azeh. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Bizman Azeh Holu Mistaklim Ba Ein Koronosa Ela Bizman. Right? The statement we have from Rabbi Yehuda is that Bizman Azeh, since we use Purim to figure out when Pesach is, we don't read it on Yom HaKnisa. We have to read it on its original day so people don't get confused. There is a contradiction with Rabbi Yehuda. Right? This is new. This is not. We didn't have a contradiction with Rabbi Yehuda before. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Emasai, when do we say that villages push it back to Monday or Thursday? Makom shenichnasin b'sheni b'chamishi. That's only true for villages that do have the tradition to go into the big city on Mondays and Thursdays. Let's say I have a village that they don't do this. They're not interested. They're happy where they are. They only read in their proper time. So the Gemara says, that's the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, that statement was made categorically. So, Makom shenichnasin b'sheni v'chamishi miya karina. It sounds like the only differentiation we make in whether or not we push it back for the villages is in whether or not it is traditional for those villagers to go to the larger cities. But there's no other differentiator. What happened to Vafilu Bizman Azeh? That sounds like even today, right? And that contradicts the statement of Rabbi Huda earlier that we only push back to Yom HaKnisa when we were not worried about them getting confused. But today that we are worried about getting confused, we don't push back to Yom HaKnisa. According to that Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda should have added a second mitigating factor. He only mentions one. That's the contradiction. So how does he solve that contradiction, Rav Ashi? Humukim lo la Braisa, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. He says, you know what? That's not Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So the Gemara says, Mushim dekashe d'Rabbi Yehuda d'Rabbi Yehuda, Humukim lo la Braisa, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. He says, that's a neat trick, right? Just because you found two statements that contradict each other, right? I would love to do that, right? Every time somebody quotes something in my name that I wish I never said, so I just thought, no, that wasn't Yaakov Glasser. That was, Mordechai Glasser. You just got that wrong. You just got the tradition wrong. So The Gemara says, like, so that's how you handle this? That's your lumdus? That's what you're leaving us with? So the Gemara says, no, Rav Ashi's original tradition, the Ikad Tani Lak Rabbi Yehuda, the Ikad Tani Lak Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. There were actually two versions of who the author of that statement was. One version was that it was Rabbi Yehuda. The other version is that it was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And when Rabbi Yehuda, and when he saw that there was a contradiction between these two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, Omar, he said to himself, Man detanila k'Rabbi Yehuda lav dafka. It must be the tradition that says this is Rabbi Yehuda is not correct. Man detanila k'Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda dafka. The one that says it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that must be the one that is correct. Okay, good.
Cool.
So now we know where we stand. We stand with the Mishnah. There are many different days. We push back to Yom HaKnisa. Maybe that's only Bizman when the Chodesh was. Maybe not. Maybe that's only the villages that have the tradition. Maybe not. But that's where we stand. Prachim amukafim choma mimos Yoshua bin Nun karim b'chamisha asar. So the Mishnah said that villages that walled cities in the time of Yoshua bin Nun read on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Minohan imili. Where in the world did you get this from? Mm-hmm. Now, what is the Gemara asking? The Gemara is asking a very simple question, which is, where did you get from that it should be from the days of Yoshua bin Nun? What makes more sense?
Presently.
The time of Shushan, right? The time of the Purim story, right? Where Yoshua bin Nun? Who has records of what cities was walled in the time of Yoshua bin Nun, right? So the Gemara says, Minani Mili, so Amar Rava, so Rava says in the Pasuk, the Amar Kra, the Megillah says, Al Kain, Hayehudim HaPrazim, Hayoshvim Ba'arei HaPrazos, right? So what does it say? It says, Al Kain Hayehudim HaPrazim, the Jews that are Prazim refer to the unwalled cities, right? The word, more spread out, right? The Jews that are in the Prazim that live in the cities of Prazim. So the Pasuk says, Osim is Yomar Basar Lachodesh Adar Simcho Mishtav Yonto Mashach Manos Ishareyehu. Right? They make Purim on the 14th. So the Gemara says, Midi Prazim Bar Basar Mukfin Bechamishasar. The fact that the Megillah is so clear that the unwalled cities do it on the 14th means that the walled cities must do it on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Prazim Bar Basar. Maybe the unwalled cities do it on the 14th, mukfin klal klal lo, and the walled cities don't have it at all. So the Rishonim discuss this havamina, very strange havamina, right? That maybe you don't have Purim at all in a walled city, and the Gemara rejects it immediately. The Lav Yisrael ninu, they're not Jews, they're not going to celebrate Purim, they're not, how's that possible? V'om behold about kush ksiv, right? And it says from Mahodu to Kush, and that includes cities that are walled. Some Rishonim say that even in this Havamina, it would mean that maybe only Shushan is included. Other Mefarshim say that, we kind of relate to Purim as like, well, Esther and Mordechai got up in the Megillah and said there's going to be Purim. And so from that point on, like, there were groggers and Megillahs and Shalachmanis and, Chinese food themes and kugels baked and, masibas and chagigas and, already, like, in year one, the Chag HaPurim evolved. Chag HaPurim each year became more and more accepted. Like, who said that what happened in Shushan should be celebrated anywhere else? Like, that was a whole discussion that went back and forth. So it's possible that maybe walled cities felt less compelled to celebrate than unwalled cities. Why? Because walled cities didn't feel as vulnerable to begin with, because they were protected. Unwalled cities that felt like, oh, at any moment, the enemy can march in here and take us. So they felt a hatsala. They felt saved. Walled cities that felt very fortified and felt very protected, they didn't feel such a hatsala. They didn't feel so saved, right? So maybe, except for Shushan, where all the action happened. So some explain the Havamina that way. The Gemara is saying that, except for Shushan, maybe it shouldn't. But again, this is what one of my rebbeim at YU, Rav Parnas, used to call a fleeting havamina. Mm-hmm. And some havaminas of the Gemara are meant to be a bona fide lumdusha havamina. The Gemara was really entrenched in a significant conceptual disposition. And you have to understand it. And sometimes the Gemara has what he calls a fleeting havamina. Ksiv ve'ema prozim bar besar mukvin bar besar. So the Gemara says odu bakush ksiv ve'ema. So maybe prozim bar besar mukvin bar besar v'chamesar. So maybe what the pasuk comes to tell you is that the unwalled does it in the 14th and the walled does it on the 14th and the 15th. Kedichsev lios osim is yom arba sar lechodesh adar ves yom chamisha sar bo bechol shana. So the Gemara says no. The pasuk lists both. Iaviksev es yom arba sar vichamisha asar kedekamart. If the language would have been the 14th vid the 15th, then maybe you'd be right that would be the differentiation. The prazim specifically are called out to do it on the 14th, and the walled cities on the 14th and the 15th. But hashad echsiv es yom arba asar vi es yom chamisha asar asa es uposik. So the s comes to separate them. V'hani barba asar, some on the 14th, v'hani b'chamisha asar, and some on the 15th. V'ema prozim barba asar. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe the unwalled are on the 14th. Mukfin in the walled, ibo barba asar, ibo b'chamisar. It's optional. You could do it on the 14th, you could do it on the 15th. So Amar Kra, that's when we resurrect our original drasha. That's why we need Bizmanehem, right? What did Bizmanehem tell us? Zmano shozeh lo zmano shozeh, right? So the Gemara says, Ve'ema tleisar kishusha. So the Ve'ema tleisar. So maybe the walled cities are on the 13th. We know the walled cities are not going to be like the unwalled cities, because the unwalled cities are mentioned specifically. But how do we know? And we know that Shushan is on the 15th. But who told you that every walled city has to be like Shushan? Maybe the walled city is not like Shushan, and it's not like the unwalled city. It's on the 13th. New day. So the Gemara says, Kishushan, because it doesn't make sense that if this whole thing is happening around Shushan, and Shushan was a walled city, that it wouldn't parallel Shushan. Ashkechan Asiya. This whole discussion discusses the actual, like when we quoted the pasuk before, Simcha Umishte of Yom Tov, Umishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. That's the celebration of Purim. Zechira Minolah. Now you know Megillah itself has to be done on those specific days. So Amar Kra, the pasuk tells us, Vayomim Ha'elah Nizkarim V'Nasim. These days should be remembered and they should be done. Iskish Zechira La'asiyah. To tell you that it has to be compared, Zechira La'asiyah. So if that's the day you're doing it, that's the day you're reading the Megillah. So the Gemara, so that's it. So the Gemara has now concluded that the Prazim are on the 14th. There clearly is another day for Shushan. There clearly is a different din for walled cities, because Prazim are mentioned specifically. Those walled cities are most logically going to occur on the same day as the original walled city, which is Shushan. And therefore, their Purim is on the 15th. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So that all leads, that all only strengthens our intuition that we started this whole section with, which is, if the whole walled city thing is coming from Shushan, so it really would make sense that the wall itself should be tracked to Shushan. Masnisa and Deloki Aitana. So in fact, there is a shita in the Tanoim that disagrees with our Mishnah. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha held, Krochin amukafin choma mimos achashverosh karem b'chamisha asar. That it's the days, it's only cities that are walled from the days of Achashverosh. My time, what's the reason to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Ki Shushan. It makes total sense. We should compare it to Shushan. Ma Shushan mukafes choma mimos achashverosh. Just like Shushan was surrounded by a wall in the days of Achashverosh. And there isn't necessarily any evidence that Shushan was surrounded by a wall in the days of Yoshua bin Nun. The Karim b'chamisha asar, and it's being read in the 15th. Remember, the story of Purim is happening, right, in the Persian Empire, right, towards the end of the Gullus Babel, the original Gullus, end of the 70 years, whole thing. Achashverosh brought out all the Kalim, right? That's when it's happening. Yoshua bin Nun is like...
way back.
Way back. Before Bais Rishon, before the Mishkan, before Shiva, before all the way. Av kol shemakupas choma mimos yoshachashverosh karim b'chamishasar. So he says, so too any city should be read chamishasar. V'tana didan my time. So what's the reason of our tana? So the Gemara says there's a limud. This is what the Bavli says. Yalif prazi prazi. Right? You learn the word prazi prazi. Gzeres Shava. Ksev Hachla, it says here, Alkeina Yidum HaProzim. It says the Jews of the unwalled cities, Viksev Asam. And it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, in Devarim, sorry, Kol Eile Arim Bitsuros Choma Gavoa Dlasayim Uvriach Levad. Talking about the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, that we were going to take over cities that are prazim. So, v'ksiv asam levad me'are prazi, herba me'od, mala halon, just like those, are mukapas choma mimos Yoshua binun, are referring to cities that would, in theory, have a wall. From the times of Yoshua binun, afkan mukapas choma mimos Yoshua binun. Also here, it refers to walls from Yoshua binun. Bisham Yoshua bin Karcha lo amar kitana didan. We understand why Bisham bin Karcha doesn't hold like our Mishnah. The last lay prosy prosy doesn't hold to this gzeirah shava. Elatana didan my tamer lo amar kir Rabbi Yoshua bin Karcha. It's pretty compelling, right? What's the reason? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the reason? My tamer do is lay prosy prosy. He had a gzeirah shava. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi kamar. This was the Gemara's kasha. Elashusha, the city of Shushan, davdinan kiman. Who does Shushan follow in this scenario of our Mishnah? Lo kiprazim. It doesn't follow the prazim, because we know that Shushan celebrated on the 15th. Velo kemukafin. And it doesn't really follow the din of the mukafin, because Shushan didn't necessarily have a wall at the days of Yoshua bin Nun. So Amar Rabba v'Amri lo kedei, so says Rabba, and some say he was anonymous. Shani Shushan ho v'nasaba nes. Shushan was different because the nes took place in Shushan itself. The Yerushalmi asks this question. Why is it that the Talmud Yerushalmi, written in Eretz Yisrael, is really bothered, right? Why is it that this whole thing is based on Yoshua bin Nun? So the answer of the Yerushalmi is a very famous answer. Kedei lachlok kavod le'Eretz Yisrael, right? What was the concern? So we don't relate to it this way, but Purim is a very galistic holiday, right? It's the only chag we celebrate that happened outside Eretz Yisrael, right? In other words, all the other chagim celebrate our life and our existence and our miracles, right? Even Pesach, we leave Mitzrayim, run our way to Eretz Yisrael, you know, we go out, Evesi, right? We're moving towards Eretz Yisrael. Shavuos, we get the Torah, we're moving towards Eretz, everything's moving towards Eretz Yisrael. This is a Golos holiday. This is a holiday that basically said that the Jewish people were almost wiped out and attacked in Golos. Don't worry, you were saved in the diaspora. So what's the tone of that?
Led to them going back. Led to Achashverosh allowing them to.
It actually did. It actually ultimately did lead to them going back. But the concern was that this would become a paradigm for the notion that we should feel comfortable with absolute divine protection in Golos. The "it could never happen here" syndrome, right? In other words, they come and they tell you, go to Eretz Yisrael, and you say, we're comfortable, everything's fine, you know, and you see, even if things go crazy, and even if something happens, and the whole world order changes, and the government gets taken over by somebody who's a little erratic and can't really predict what's going to happen next, and we don't have all the same moral standards as we've always had, and we're not sure exactly where things are going to go, even if such a thing were to ever happen, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in, stay, everything will be fine, everything will be okay, you know, feel comfortable. It is to some degree, It's a holiday that celebrates our safety and our security and our conquest outside of Eretz Yisrael. So for that reason, it had to have some major connection to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we didn't use the cutoff time, as the Mefarshim say. Yerushalmi just says, "Kedei lachlo kavod le'Eretz Yisrael." Eretz Yisrael should have some kavod in the Chag of Purim. The Mefarshim say that this is what it means, that we shouldn't relate to Purim entirely as a validating diaspora experience, that we should recognize that really, ultimately, the goal is to be where we're supposed to be. And so therefore, when looking at which cities would be considered walled cities or not walled cities, we have to go back to our history of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. That's why, the Rishonim point out, this Gzera Shava, Prazi, doesn't get you to Yoshua. It actually gets you to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Gets you to Sefer Devarim. Right. So they say, even though the Psukim are in Sefer Devarim, it's referring to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, which is going to happen through Yoshua, right? So it's the connection to Eretz Yisrael, and that becomes part and parcel of the, of that's embedded into the Purim experience. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Remember, look at this. Shani Shushan Ove Nasabanes. Then the Gemara says, Bishlama, it's good Latana be done according to Artana. Hainu Dechsev. We understand why the Megillah says, Medina Umidina, Ve'ir Va'ir. Why it says it twice, Medina and Medina, Ir and Ir. Why? Medina and Medina, to tell you, Lachlok Be Mukfin Choma Mimos Yeshua Binun, Mikofos Choma Mimos Achashverosh. Right? To differentiate between cities that are walled at the times of Yeshua Binun, to cities that are walled at the time of Achashverosh. Ir va'ir, nami lachlok. Ir va'ir is also necessary. L'chalik ben Shushan, l'shara yoros. To be mechalik between Shushan and other ayoros. Because Shushan, even though it doesn't have a wall from the times of Achashverosh, is not going to have the same din as other ayoros. And that's why we need both differentiators. El Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, we're calling to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who holds that we only go based on the walls at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Bisham Medina Medina Lachlok bin Shushan Lashara Yaros. So I know why, I'm sorry, Shuman Karch, that we go from the time of Achashverosh. So I understand why we have Shushan. Shushan's going to be different. Ela Irba Ir Lamayasa. Amilachari Shuban Karcha. Ulutana Didan Minicha. According to Aratana, is it good? Came into Islay Prazi Prazi. Medina Medina Lamali. We already have the Drasha Prazi Prazi to differentiate. Why do we need Medina Medina? Ela Krala Drasha Huda Asa. So they come to the conclusion that this is to be darshaned. What's the drasho? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Who da'asa? To Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the following din, krach, it's not just the city that's surrounded by the wall, v'chol ha-samuch lo, and all of the homes that are samuch to it, that are near it, v'chol ha-nire, and everything that could be seen in its jurisdiction, imo nidon kikrach, also have the din of a krach. So the Gemara says, ad kama, until when? Am Rav Yirmi of Yitem Rav Chia Barava, kima chamson litaveria. The city of Chamson litaveria, mil, which is a mil. Velema mil, so why don't you just say a mil? Al kamash milon, deshira de mil. I'm going to tell you how much a mil is. Kama, how much is it? Avi kicham litaveria. So we're not going to go into it today, but because the Gemara discusses it a little more specifically later when we discuss which cities are in and which cities are out, but there is a major debate in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, of how to evaluate what's called a walled city, right? Yerushalayim, as we know it, celebrates Purim when?
15th.
Only in the Old City?
No.
Not only in the Old City. That wall is nowhere near Yeshua Benon. That wall is from the Turks, the Ottomans, right? From the Ottomans. Right, so it doesn't even have to have the wall that was originally there. We just know that it was walled. So, what's considered proximity to the walled city? So there's a lot of discussion. So if it's, does it have to be contiguous? What if it's built up to be contiguous, but it wasn't contiguous before? Do you have to see within the mill? Can you see beyond the mill? And that's a lot of discussions, and we'll discuss that later in the Masechta. You know, there are certain sections of modern-day Yerushalayim that are Vada Yerushalayim. Certain sections of modern-day Yerushalayim that are a Safek. What do you do with a Safek? Oh, very good. Machlokas between the Rambam and the, very good, Safek the Rabbanon maybe. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim. What you do with a Safek? Some say you have a Safek, just read it on the 13th. Because that's the day, the 14th. Because that's the day that everybody reads it, right? Some say, the Rambam says, read it on both days, but only make the bracha on the 14th. Not so pasha what Safek Rabbanan Lekula actually is in this scenario, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. Depending on what the din b'dievet is. And that, so that, but that is absolutely raised, you know, to what extent do we evoke Safek Rabbanan Lekula? But that'll be a discussion that we'll have, that'll be an exciting discussion. There's a lot of Lebedekite in Israel of exactly what to do, and some people want to have. Oh, so very good. So Shlomi wants to say that maybe we should be machmer on the Adelo Yoda, but make on the Megillah. So
because you don't know the answer,
we'll see. That shul should be done because that's a Sufik Doraisa, right? Adelo Yoda is a Sufik Doraisa, so that's already more machmir. The Megillah is already, you know. Okay.
Example of a neighborhood, which is itself.
I think.
By
Vegan. Harnof. It's Harnof also suffering. There's Harnof definitely.
Gilo, all these new places.
Gilo, that's the outskirts already. Yeah. Gilo is the outskirts already. So yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll get more into that. Okay. Talk to everyone.
Wasn't? Didn't? I'm not sure.